Recording.
All right. Okay, it's November 20th at 6 p.m. I call this monthly meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Okay, Chairman Woods.
Present.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes, I am.
Director Duquette is absent, and Director Scheifele is also absent.
The Director Scheifele drafted a resignation letter to the mayor recently.
Okay.
I don't expect to see them. Before we go to public input, for folks that don't know, Sandy Adams' father, Lloyd Adams,
Lloyd Addison.
Oh, I saw him. Lloyd Addison Adams. Thanks for the correction. Lloyd Addison Adams has passed away. I'd like to take a moment, offer a moment of silence for Sandy's dad. Public input.
And the services schedule?
I saw a note in the cafe this afternoon about services I'm scheduled to get. Any public input this evening? Okay. Minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of October 22, 2019.
I'll make a motion to approve those.
No, second that.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Treasurer's report. Approval of the October 2019 financial statements subject to audit.
I went through these. They look reasonable. The income is a little bit better than budget, so that doesn't. The budget numbers are still kind of shaking. I'm taking some of that. This is only what, 4 months of the year. So some of the items in there are timing issues. Some of the variances are timing issues. We're still seeing a little bit of a shortfall in the fuel. Plumage, a good size one this month, but that may have been after getting one of the timing things. We'll see. It's been running pretty well year to date. It's pretty much the same branch as the month. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then the tie downs should be, they should start to correct themselves, but we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that one as well. Those are the revenue shortfalls that we're keeping an eye on. But and then there's other expense reductions or variances that, again, could be timing, could be budgetary. Nothing of any significance at this point of the year. We did have an over expenditure on the building and grounds. Is that because of what is that?
The over on
I think we talked about it last month, too.
I did it in my glasses.
it's the 542.80 that talks about the $7,400 expenditure versus a $3,300. Again, it could be the budget just hasn't caught up with it. Might be a timing thing.
Could be the budget hasn't caught up with it, and I know that we have.
It happened early in the year.
Yeah, we're trying to remember what it was.
We have to have one of the gates down there.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll nothing that, again, it looks like the...
We're blown by the year.
When,
Jays were last year.
Jays were last year?
Yeah.
I'd have to pull up the...
Yeah, no, I mean, we're, it looks like as long as the trend doesn't continue, the budget will catch up with the expense.
Right.
So we'll keep an eye on that, too. Other than that, we're actually, bottom line-wise, we're better off than we thought we would be from a budgetary perspective. Some of that, again, is a bunch of expenses that just haven't happened yet. One of which is marketing. And so we'll, but nothing of any real, nothing to worry about here that I can see. So I think we might want to look at the comp deal. I don't know why that's kind of seems to be building it up to steam as far as a favorable variance. Is our rate lower, or is that going to catch up?
No, our rate's lower. I think I just paid our fourth and final bill, and we pay it 4 months. I believe this is the fourth month that I just paid.
Okay.
And they did get out a little bit because we just got a refund from last year.
Okay, so that could be a real savings as time goes on. So
thank you, Chris, for your team being safe.
Yeah.
In my world, workers' comp doesn't go down.
Right.
Yeah, I before I did the race, I think I had budgeted similar to what it was last year.
Well, that's good. Smart way to do that.
Okay. So anyway, that's all I got for on this.
So I'll make a motion to approve here at that point.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll second that. Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor of approving the October 2019 financial statement subject to audit?
Aye.
Aye.
Yep.
And opposed? Okay. Motion carries. That brings us to approval of the draft fiscal year 2019 audit. So we're going to be able to do this nice chunk of paperwork here.
Yeah. I'm not going to bore you by going through it. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them. I did meet with the auditors a few weeks ago, and there's nothing of any substance that they're worried about. So, just to get it, the report is what's referred to as a clean opinion, which means they didn't miss all the stuff. No, I'm just kidding. We're doing a good job. The controls are good. There's been no issues that they came across that required any kind of significant investment. I guess there's going to be an exit conference at some point with the auditors.
They will come next month.
Next month? Okay. Well, this report has to be finalized before the end of December because they have to get to the city for their CAFR.
So
we
need to approve it so that
we
can finish the final
copy.
All right, so we just
need to... We're going to vote on that
tonight. And then once you approve it, we will print out the final copy.
Yeah.
And we can...
So, again, I don't know of anything that would prevent us from approving this. There's no adjustments that we don't agree with, but there's some of the usual adjustments that we're making in the year, appreciation and other things. We did have some discussion about which is a capital asset, which is expense. They're comfortable with that. And so I would like to make a motion to approve the draft financial statements for June of 2019.
Second that.
Okay.
Any further questions or discussion?
Okay, all those in favor of approving the draft fiscal year 2019 audit, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, opposed? Okay, motion carries. So, we've approved the draft, which means that they can move forward on the final report. Does the board have to reconvene to approve the,
that should come next month.
Well, they usually do it at the next conference. So they have everything, the management letter is presented then as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that there's no management letter comments, which is good.
Yes. Okay. So that brings us to communications. 14th of the month, we received the NHTSU, the New Hampshire Project Improvement and Maintenance Program. That came from Tricia Aronata. Do you have any comments on that, Chris?
Well, the only comment is we submitted again for the AIM program and we weren't selected. So we'll try again next year.
Are there any airports in New Hampshire that were selected?
Yeah, this is a New Hampshire program.
Right. But so,
and it was, as Carol had described to me, it was really geared towards the smaller airports. Yeah. It's a small fund that they collect together each year and they make it available to all the airports. And you choose some type of a project, and we needed, for years, we've needed a new tractor for mowing. And so I put in for it twice and wasn't approved.
That brings us to reports. And the salary report. For October, we had a bit of a dip this time. So for October 2019, total number of operations was 7,239. I'm reading this wrong. Sorry. No, we had an increase
last year.
Last year it was a little bit. So we had 7,239 operations with a variance of 1,925 operations. So that's up 36% versus 2018. So that's, we're still trending upwards for the year. That's a good number. And you for sure.
Okay, recent events. We just had a dedication ceremony, a real nice dedication ceremony this past weekend for a past employee, Dan Morrow. We placed a granite bench out in the park out at the end of Perimeter and Pine Hill. It was a great turnout. It's probably 100 people, and now there's a really nice bench in there in his honor. For anybody to go out there and sit in, enjoy the sunsets, etc.
I wasn't able to attend it, but I did go back there. I heard some other people that it was a really good, you did a great job as the president presenter, and the family was really appreciative, and I looked at it with a really great setting.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That lady, Maureen Lund, she really put it all together and did a great job. upcoming events, we have booked the Commemorative Air Force. They'll be coming to Nashua next June. They're going to be bringing the B-29 Super Fortress Fifi and Consolidated B-24 Liberator Diamond Lil. They're planning on arriving Monday, June 8th. They'll take a couple days off. They do a media day. And then the show dates start on the 10th and run through the 14th. And they'll depart Nashville the following Monday on June 15th.
Those dates should be June 6th, 10, not 8, 10, right?
That is correct. My June 8th kept carrying over. Thank you.
So they are here in June, not 8th.
Yes, correct. I'm sorry. Good catch. it should be a great turnout. Last time they were here a couple of years ago, they had record turnouts. And bringing both the the heavy bombers. I think this will be a huge turnout. So, other items of interest. On 10/28, I attended a New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics grant documentation workshop that was put on by the Bureau of Aeronautics in conjunction with the FAA. There were several personnel from FAA. It was pretty much an all-day affair, and it was more geared towards the engineering firms that write up all these contracts, etc. But it was interesting and informative, so I'm glad that I went. Rich O'Loughlin, he was the former aviation operations administrator here at SNHU. He has left his position here, and he has accepted a position returning to the Massport, Massachusetts Port Authority, as aviation operations training manager. So congratulations to Rich. It was nice having him here while he was here. He was really great to work with, and we wish him well. With that, I met with Kyle Viator, who's the assistant dean of CETA for SNHU, and he introduced me to Dominic LaFauci. Dominic has come in and assumed the position of assistant dean of aviation for SNHU, and he will be based right here in this location.
Is he kind of replacing Rich?
They're kind of rearranging things. There's going to be about three different people replacing that role.
Sorry, it's three people replacing.
Well, they've kind of created different roles. I don't know all the intricacies, but he is the assistant dean of the program now. And so we welcome Dominic. I've had a couple of meetings with him. Seems like a great guy. Some serious interest in aviation, flight instruction, etc. I think it'd be a great fit.
Good.
So, again, welcome to Dominic. Look forward to working with him. And that's about all I have. Anybody have any questions?
Did you see any comments you and all about whether or not they'll be taking passengers for
They will be. I asked a very direct question, and the question was, has there been any effect on the interest in the rides since the tragedy in Bradley? And he told me no. He goes, they've actually seen an increase. So they are offering rides at least throughout the rest of the season. And hopefully when they come here, that's what the plan is.
Okay, cool. Thank you. That brings us to the airport engineer.
Gale Associates is currently administering two projects to the authority. The first one is the runway 1432 Group and Steel. Final deliverable on this project was to procure the sign panels for the backside of the runway 32 ILS hold position signs. These were ordered from the manufacturer, and the cost was incorporated in the final reimbursement request, which was sent out to NHDOT last week. Gale has received acceptance on the final reimbursement request this week from NHDOT, so Gale will be has begun preparing the closeout documents. The project should be considered complete, and moving forward will be removed from the monthly update. The second project that Gale has with the authority is the pavement reconstruction and maintenance phase two. NHDOT has issued a grant offer to the airport for a design-only grant. This grant was signed and returned to DOT on October 25th of 2019. The grant funding now must be approved through the New Hampshire Governor and Executive Council. The next Governor and Executive Council meeting is scheduled for November 25th, 2019, at which time it is expected that the grant will be approved. Upon approval of the grant to fund this project, Gale will prepare the first and final reimbursement package. That's it.
The Bureau of Aeronautics personnel go to that. I believe Tricia goes to those. Is that correct, Danny?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I believe Tricia told me that she had done
the request.
Yes.
That happens twice a month, I think, to meet.
So this is essentially the William versus Gale for all the work they did on the initial project that did not get approved. Right, so that with the phase two of the west southwest end of the airport. So that was based. This was basically a vehicle in which to get some funding to satisfy the work that was done on that ahead of time on that grant that we were expecting to get but we didn't get. So where are we on the reapplication of that $3.8 million or $6 million, whatever it's going to be? Where are we on that at this point? The reapplication for next year?
It's all in process.
Okay. So what's the time?
What they did was to do the design, if you want to talk about anything, they're phasing the project.
No, I understand that. But my point is that has...
I don't know what the timeline is.
Okay.
Not the exact timeline, but everything usually know by May, they approve it.
But to your point, Dave, I think you want that to be on this list.
Yeah, I think we need to track that. I don't want to forget about that.
I don't want to lose sight of it.
But also, I want to know, do we actually have to redo all the paperwork to give to the state, or has that all been done? That's going to just simply roll over to next year, but as is. We put a proposal together. We put a package together to get funding for $3.8 million for that phase two. We didn't get it. Okay, so then what happens to that? Does it roll over to next year's budget? And now because of this, it's now $3.6 million because we've already funded part of it. I just want to... I don't
want to
lose track of that thing.
Well, we're not losing track of this.
Right.
It's on the forefront of everything we're doing right now is to get this project done.
Right. So I guess what I just want to know is the paperwork, is where that all sits. Do we have to resubmit it as if it's a brand new proposal, or does it simply roll over?
It's all being resubmitted in phases. The whole project's being resubmitted in phases. Like Danny said, the next news we'll have is in May. Whether it was approved or not.
Okay, when you say phases, does that mean we're taking the $3.6 million and breaking it down into pieces?
Yep, that's what this design only was about.
Okay.
That's coming right off of the...
No, I understand.
Next, we'll go into the construct only phase.
It's 3.8, not 3.6, because it's 200 that are
approved. Essentially.
Essentially. But now, okay, so the 3.6 now, is that...
That's the construct only phase. So that's the next phase we're going after for May.
So that paperwork has been submitted or has not been submitted?
I don't know. Nick could be better off to answer that.
I don't think it has been submitted yet, but I'm not sure.
Okay, but then the timeline for that is approved. Assuming it gets submitted by a deadline, whatever that deadline is, then we're going to know about it in May.
Yes.
And Nick should be able to confirm that for us. Wes, do you have a question?
My question was essentially trying to clarify. Mr. Heath was saying, and it sounds like the paperwork has not yet been submitted, and I don't think we heard when it would be submitted.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
We don't know exactly. Okay. Nick would be able to answer that, but it's not time at this time to submit it yet.
Okay. All right, well, let's make sure that gets back on this in the forefront. So this will be, this number two, repavement, reconstruction, and maintenance phase two, would be nice if it was design only. But will it have a different number?
Let's
make sure that gets on there next time and figure out where it is.
Last loop for the recording. Could you refresh my memory just to what area of the airport that project will come?
Your hangar.
You want me to do it?
Okay, that's the short answer.
Yes, that side.
from where the Airport Authority offices are, moving down towards the northwest end of the field, inner taxiway in between all of the hangars.
All the way to the west end?
Yep.
Okay.
All the way to 129.
Okay. Thank you.
Doesn't necessarily mean that the pavement's going to go right to the hangars, but where they determine, like we did in the other end, where we don't have the correct pitch, grade, et cetera, if they have to do things like that, they will be paving up to the hangars. And we're looking at porous pavement in some of the areas as well, like we did on the other end, which worked out great. I think Farrell can attest to that. Yeah, because obviously we have much worse drainage issues in this end of the field.
I've actually been telling the members of my condo association about putting a trench drain on the north side of the airport of our building, which would involve some excavation, pouring concrete, and whatnot. So if this project doesn't go through next year, we may just fund that ourselves.
Well, we're pretty confident that it's going to be funded from the discussions that we had with Carol Nuolo from the Hampshire DOT and the discussions that she has had with FAA Luke Garrison.
Okay, great. Okay, any other questions for the engineer?
So is there something we have to sign, the authority has to sign something tonight?
Yeah, it's the closeout packages for the Groove and Seal project.
Okay, so we can do that afterwards?
I think we can do that afterwards.
Yeah, it's just Farrell and I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just Farrell that has to sign it. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any committees tonight? Global business that I'm aware of. New business. We want to talk a bit about this all.
Yeah, I just want to just get it on the record a little bit, so we work it to a conclusion. The city of Nashua has been pretty active in locating and installing some of solar arrays either on city buildings or around the city, and the mayor has a pretty clear initiative of pretty much going as much solar as possible, if not 100% solar for the city. That's been a personal city agenda that he's been championing. And in that vein, we were asked to, Brian went to a meeting at the mayor's office just to get a feel for what was going on, and then we subsequently met with Farrell and myself, met with Dan Weeks from Renewable Energy, is that what it's called? I forget. Anyway, the issue has always been, I think any, most people I know, including the board, has personal, would like personally to see solar. It's a good way to reduce fossil fuel reliance and all that stuff. But we want to make sure the numbers make sense. And we want to make sure we're not going to get stuck with something down the road that we weren't aware of. So we're going into this thing cautiously, but after the meeting with Weeks, I personally thought that it could be moving in the right direction. Obviously, there's a lot of engineering that has to be addressed, and timing and logistics, all that stuff, and where it goes, and how it goes, what kind of interruption, if any, to the airport is it going to be, where it connects, and then also then, where are all these little electrons run? How do they get to the city grid, and what happens at the city level, and what's the effect of net metering? So there's a whole bunch of, I guess all I want to say is that I think we need to work this thing to a conclusion relatively quickly, because it's one of those things, we're going to do it or we're not. I know that there was a company that approached a different board 4 years ago, that it didn't seem to have the legs that this one has because of different reasons. But I think the part of it was that the company itself was not all that put together. This company that Dan Weeks represents, seems to have their act together. The good-sized company has done a lot of projects across the country. They're based here in New Hampshire. The latest project with the city has been the Conway Arena. It's about to go live in a month or so. So that is a good, that would be a good kind of an example of how this is all going to work. I also reached out to the city has a new energy director. There's one by the name of Gloria Brown. And she and I spoke briefly today. And we're going to put our heads together sometime in the next week or two to start seeing the devil in the details and see if this thing really makes sense to go forward. So, that's where we are.
Yes. A couple of questions and an interesting point. Are we talking about putting a solar farm somewhere out on the airport or just
yes.
on the roof of the
yes.
airport building?
On the airport grounds.
Okay.
It's about a 5-acre array.
Okay.
It'll be kind of, they're proposing a skinny array than, being in the grass, the side grass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bottom line is that we're not sure where it's going to go yet. And that's the next, you got to make sure the numbers make sense first. So.
So before I ask about these side graphs, the folks out in California discovered a very interesting thing. Most of them who have solar arrays don't have storage. And when the power is cut off, the solar arrays don't help them, don't replace that power. So if the airport wants, in the event of some catastrophic power failure, to continue operating with solar power, they'll need storage.
Now, okay, let me just address that real quickly. We're not going to need storage.
No. Okay.
Because this is going to be, we are using about maybe 20%, if that much, of the amount of power that this is going to generate. So this power is going out to the grid.
Sure.
It's a megawatt system.
Okay.
It is a total. There's no storage. It's not for us only. It's going to go.
But it might be to your advantage to have some storage.
That's something that the engineers and the solar company can work out. Right now the proposal is to have no storage.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty clear about that.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where they're at right now. But I think I'm kind of encouraged at this point. I'm obviously cautiously optimistic. I think I'll jump into this thing and I want to talk to other airports.
And given where they propose to put the arrays, it's a big logistical hassle to physically get that electricity back onto the airport. So the proposal would be to simply connect that set of arrays to the grid and take
sure.
it right into the net metering, when the arrays can generate power and then we don't have to worry about, battery backup.
So is the airport managed proposal to have a grass runway dead?
No. Can I step up to the board for a second?
Go ahead.
There's two areas that have been proposed. This runway, I cannot draw.
We can draw two straight lines.
That's why you're airport manager.
The tower's right there. So here's the 3-2 departure, 1-4 approach in. You have your Mauser up here. They proposed an area inside the fence, actually, down about an area like this. It was a 5-acre parcel. And we didn't really like that. On right next to the precision approach, just didn't sit so well. So up over here, this is the grass area that you were talking about that we've discussed now for a little while. There's a culvert that runs along here that's full of crushed stone, like a wash inside the fence line. The fence is here. Railroad tracks are up here. So you have the all the rocks of this culvert here, just on the other side of that is where we're proposing to run this. And then you have Sharon Ave out here, and the idea would be to trench out there and tie into a main power line out there.
But I don't want to see Brian out there with some wire cutters splicing into his building.
So to answer your question, Wes, no, it'll have no effect on that grass area. Make sure of that.
And the good news is it's on the north side of the runway, so you're not going to get the glare that, you know, or you shouldn't get the glare. We talked about that a little bit, where I guess now that a lot of the newer panels are, they have a glare reduction or...
Yeah, they actually put an anti-glare coating.
That was a significant issue in Manchester.
Oh, yeah, it was a horror show. Yeah. But the technology and the knowledge base has grown since then. So did you have any other things that came up in your meeting, Brian?
Well, those are, I'm in Rotary with Cheryl Linder and so wound up meeting with them as a function of having a conversation at Rotary. And I reiterated my concerns about the NAFTA, Manchester's experience, and then just, you know, commercial users I know that have rooftop units as an example. I mean, basically they're useless in the winter, in large part because they can be, you know, covered by the snow and just, but you know, in that environmentally conscious sense, you know, it's something, you know, we want to have conversations about.
Sure.
But we want to make sure there are no unintended consequences.
Right. One of the things that came out that I was encouraged by was that, you know, everybody thinks about putting these things on rooftops and, they're going to own them, they're going to lease them. We're not going to own this. This is the way this is working. The proposal is, or the process that we're looking into is what's called a power purchase agreement, where there's an investor, private investor, that actually buys and owns the project, and they install it. We don't pay a dime for it. We just allow them.
And when you say we, you mean both the airport and the city? Or nor the city?
Yeah. Basically, wherever it goes. And usually it's a municipality. This is how the Conway Arena is being done. Is that the Conway Arena and the city do not own that array. The investor does. And then there's another party that's a management company that actually administers this whole thing with a race or anything. And then we then sign a purchase agreement with that third party, that second company, to then purchase the power at a given rate, which is significantly less than what we're paying now. This is all about supply check. This is all about the power part of it. Every bill that we all see at your houses has two pieces to it, or maybe three. There's a supply, which is actual neutrons, electrons themselves, and then there's the transmission of them, and there's also the equipment, and there's all kinds of other investments to it too. But this is the supply side of it, and so bottom line is we're not paying a dime for this. We don't shell out any money up front. Week now, and then after a 5-year run out, we have the option, a predetermined option, our unilateral option, to buy that array for a certain amount of money. And it's a sliding scale, if you wait till year 6 or 7 or 8. But then now we own the power, and then we can then start charging and reaping the benefits of this.
When you say we, again, the airport
authority. The airport authority, this is where I gotta talk to Dory a little more about this, as to how that plays out down the road. Are we now a power company and we're selling it to the city? Those are all the little nuances that I'm not quite sure of just yet. But anyway, it's moving
Chris,
along.
You'll have to, you know, provide guidance on the increased maintenance.
That's the other thing we talked about Chris brought this up before the meeting that, you know, we've already got two guys that are pretty well spent as far as what their time is out there. We're not going to be able to mow it or plow it or anything. So that's the good news is that what we were told was, again, that because we don't own it, it's their problem. They plot it, they get a bushwhacker out there and cut all the brush and everything, and they do it. All we have to do is give them access to it.
They did say it's generally just once a year that they right. trim it. We'll see.
I don't know how the snow is going to be. I don't know how that's all going to affect it. Especially when we start pointing the chute on our runway problems, the snowblower over there. But that's a consideration. So we're
yep.
this.
No, it all is.
So,
this location that actually Matt Caron came up with, that location along the culvert line, it's actually ideal in terms of the positioning. It has unobstructed sunlight all
right.
day.
Right.
And
that's not Matt.
But you're right. No, Matt Caron.
Yeah. Yeah, but so those are the things. So again, we're just in the still very, very much in the investigating stage here.
So is this the committee we put Joe in charge of?
Yeah.
There you go.
Not yet.
I think we should Skype him in now.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you, David.
Okay.
I'd be happy to be part of any meeting you want. If you okay. want another person there at some
okay.
point.
Yeah. Okay.
So that brings us to upcoming events. I think we already covered that in your,
yes.
your manager's report, Chris. So public input.
I'll offer a suggestion. I think I might be doing really wrong now. Given the number of empty tie downs and probably the airport's desire to pinch pennies, I'd like to suggest that, or throw out the suggestion that the India ramp be mothballed for the winter, not plowed, and that those owners be repositioned on parts of the airport that are currently empty. Thank you.
Any other public input this evening? Okay, director's comments. So I'll start with Brian.
I'm all set.
I'm actually all set for this evening too. David?
Nope. I just want to, you know, thank Chris for his presentation at the Dairy Mini Moral Thing. You know, the feedback I got was really good. It was well done. And good stuff.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn.
Okay. I would make such a motion to adjourn.
Yes. Favor, I.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Yes.
Okay. And we're adjourned. Thank you.
Microphone off.